Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
From the Financial Times in London, this is Hard Currency. I'm Katie Martin, and I'm happy to say I'm joined by Frédéric Ducrozet from Pictet Wealth in Geneva. Fred, it's been another lively week on the European currency front. There's never a dull moment for us in these markets, but let's start with sterling. It seems like the market wants to move on every incremental step in the Brexit debate. What is it about a hard Brexit that's rumbling markets so much at the moment?
I guess a big change nowadays is that we have a hard deadline, the Article 50 will be triggered next year, and that at least it brings some visibility to markets in terms of the schedule. But on the other hand, we have nothing close to a strategy, nothing close to a plan. And indeed, in terms of what a hard Brexit would mean for the economy, the market is left guessing. And I think the implication, near term at least, will be important for the Bank of England, the monetary policy and the fiscal policy. So probably what the price action means for this week is that more accommodation is priced in at some point, whether it is a rate cut, more QE, or hopefully, ideally, a more aggressive fiscal stance. That's probably the reaction that the interpretation I have from this week's moves.
So it's the fact that we have a deadline, but that we still don't know what that deadline is going to bring that seems to be really worrying people. But it's interesting what you say about the extra accommodation, because actually the market's implied chance of another cut in November has pulled back recently because the economic data has actually been okay. How does that play out? Are we really moving on rate expectations, or are we just moving on awful politics?
Probably both. You're right. In terms of the Bank of England next move, there has been some volatility in market expectations. But again, the forward guidance so far has been quite clear that there will be at some point another move close to zero. And the fact that it has been pulled back and comes again into rates market probably had an effect this week. Then the medium-term outlook has to be priced in with more certainty. That's why the hard deadline is both a positive and a negative for currency market. And I think the net-net effect is somewhat of a further weakening in trade weight terms in the sterling.
How much attention do you think the market will pay to the fact that our Prime Minister Theresa May is talking about how something has to change with monetary policy? And there seems to be a shift in the smoke signals away from a reliance on monetary policy and QE and towards something more fiscal policy centred. How will that play out in markets, do you think?
That was a very surprising comment I read in the Financial Times this week, indeed. But when you read, and as you wrote, I mean, when you read the speech very carefully, there is very little in terms of implication, concrete implication of monetary policy. Hopefully Mark Carney will not resign. Hopefully it has no impact in terms of the credibility and independence of the central bank. I don't think that's the point. Probably, more likely, the point was about the policy mix, the broader policy mix. Something has to change. If something can change in the next few months, in my opinion, it's the fiscal stance. And that could, again, be come with more accommodation and probably a somewhat more targeted fiscal stimulus as soon as next year.
Speaking of Mark Carney, possibly our most important foreign worker, how important is he to investor confidence in the UK, do you think?
It's difficult to say because the Bank of England has been doing a great job in terms of communication, in terms of communicating its strategy to markets in recent years. Forward guidance has been somewhat of a mixed blessing, I would say. But overall, there is no questioning the independence or credibility of the Bank of England. And the reaction to the Brexit vote was rather welcome by market. To which extent this is due to Mark Carney alone, I'm not sure, but it would definitely be a negative for market, at least short term, if the implication were more personal, I would say.
Yeah, let's try not to find that out. Speaking of central bank credibility, moving on to the euro, there was a very a bit of a kind of curveball thrown into the markets this week, with people talking about the prospect of the European Central Bank tapering its bond buying programme, just when everyone's talking about it actually being extended. Do you think we're looking at the beginnings of something looking like a European taper tantrum, or do you think it's a bit premature for all that?
It's very premature for the ECB to even discuss winding down asset purchases. But at the same time, every central bank that embarked on QE, negative rates and other exotic, I would say, policy measures, had to think about the exit strategy eventually. And the ECB is no exception. President Draghi told us that they did not discuss this at the last meeting. I think he's lying. He can be lying. Of course they did. They always do. Not only the Germans. Again, it's part of the credibility of the central banks to think ahead over the next 2-3 years, maybe even longer. And in that respect, the tapering is an obvious exit strategy, in my opinion, if and when QE does stop.
So there has been a bit of a move in the bond market, also a little bit more strength in the euro as a result of all of this. Would you fade that? Do you think that's not something to pay too much attention to at this point?
Definitely. I think that's the surprising part, maybe, or at least the market reaction is very telling from that perspective. It shows how sensitive bond markets in particular are, FX market to a probably a lesser extent, to any news about tapering, whether it is in Japan with the new yield curve control strategy from the Bank of Japan, or a possible tapering by the ECB. Yes, I think would fade this move. We're still looking for a slightly weaker euro against the dollar next year. And the reason is that the underlying picture in the euro area, and in particular in terms of inflation, is still very worrying. And I think the ECB, on balance, is still quite worried, actually, about the near to medium term outlook for core inflation. There is no way that the ECB gives up. That's another big word from Mr. Draghi this year. We don't give up in face of low inflation. And maybe next year they will see some uptick in core inflation. But so far, 0.8% in the euro area, it's too low. And there is very little chance that this changes in the next few months. So I would fade the move for now.
But even then, there were, 5-year highs against sterling? I mean, sterling's really going some here too.
Yeah. Now, that's a good point, because we always talk about euro-dollar, but the euro, the currency in trade-weighted terms, is still too high relative to whatever level you think it's appropriate. But for the ECB in particular, it's still a bit too high. And that's the all the maybe the paradox of this news, is that it would be good news to taper. It would be good news to end QE, to have a steeper curve, German curve, that is, for banks, for insurers, and for the country, actually, in Germany, would be good news. But if that happens with a stronger currency in particular, then the ECB will have to revise its inflation forecast downwards again. And that's definitely something they don't want to do.
Yeah, then we start tying ourselves in knots. Just very quickly on the Fed, to what extent would it be a surprise if the Fed raised rates again this year?
In November, you mean? Chances are never zero, but very low, I think, that the Fed does something in November. It would be a surprise to me that they do nothing in December, regardless of the results of the election, to be honest, because then it will take some time to know exactly what the fiscal policy will look like in the next few years, whether it's Clinton or Trump. So I think the Fed has made it very clear that they are data dependent, that the data this week were quite strong, and that action should follow.
Mm. So we'll just have to see what the dollar makes of that, if and when it finally happens.
I think if it's an dovish hike, then maybe the reaction in the FX market will be more muted.
Yeah, exactly. Fred, we're out of time, but thanks so much for your insight. We're back next week. In the meantime, keep up to date at ft.com/markets.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Katie.